The last case today, Williams v. Fleming.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Rakesh Khan. I represent the plaintiff appellant in this matter, Jesse Williams. This matter comes up for appeal based on a ruling by Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer on April 30th, 2009. The primary issue is whether or not it's the interpretation of a federal statute known as this, what we refer to as the Judgment Bar Statute. That's 28 USCA 2676. The precise issue here is whether or not that statute bars a plaintiff's claim against an individual governmental employee if the plaintiff's claim against the United States under the Federal Tort Claims Act, the FTCA, is also previously dismissed based on one of the exceptions noted in 28 USC 2680. The district court primarily found in applying the judgment bar statute to bar Mr. Williams' claims against the individual defendant, in this case, Jerry Fleming, primarily relied on the Seventh Circuit case of Hoosier Bank Corp. versus Rasmussen. We believe that that district court erroneously applied that case and that it actually has no applicability to the present issues involved in this appeal. The Hoosier Bank Corp. case that was relied upon, although the district court did dismiss that plaintiff's claims against the United States based on one of the exceptions, the issue for appeal was simply because of that case was dismissed against the United States under one of the exceptions under 2680. Does that also, since it was an unfavorable ruling, does that also bar the claim against the individual defendant under the judgment bar statute? Because that appellant was arguing that the judgment bar statute was not intended to provide for duplicative litigation, and since there was a dismissal of the plaintiff's claim against the United States, there wouldn't be duplicative litigation. The plaintiff appellant in that case seems to have conceded the fact that the underlying judgment under the FTCA was a proper judgment that would apply the judgment bar statute. The purpose of this appeal is not to concede that, and that's what we're asking. The reason we're here is because the judgment bar statute, we don't believe, should apply to a case in which the underlying FTCA claim was never proper to begin with. And the Hoosier Bank Corp. case never dealt with that precise issue. Accordingly, this is an issue of first impression before this court. The only case that we could find that is directly on point in every respect is a Second Circuit case called Halleck v. Bonner. In that case, similar to ours, the plaintiff appellant filed an FTCA claim against the government that was dismissed pursuant to one of the exceptions of 2680, and subsequently that court also dismissed the individual's claim against the governmental employee. That court found that because the underlying claim against the FTCA was never proper to begin with. That means it was never brought, it never should have been brought under the FTCA to begin with because it was fell under one of the exceptions, that the judgment bar statute does not apply to it. Specifically, the court's holding is as follows. We hold that for the judgment bar to apply, the action must first be a proper one for consideration under the Federal Tort Claims Act. In other words, it must fit within the category of cases for which sovereign immunity has been waived. If it does not, then a judgment declaring a lack of subject matter jurisdiction just simply denotes that a sovereign immunity has not been waived, and the case is not justiciable in any event. We believe that that holding applies precisely to the case at issue before you. We believe that the district court here is finding that the FTCA claim against the United States, simply because it fell within one of the exceptions under 2680, should not trigger the judgment bar statute, especially when there's claims that Mr. Williams has here that are constitutional claims under the under Bivens. We believe that such claims were not intended to be revoked, and such claims should not have been sacrificed simply because an FTCA claim was within one of those exceptions. We believe that there's been other cases, including the Seventh Circuit, which has specifically implicitly followed the holding in Halleck v. Bonner. Specifically, there's the Manning v. U.S. case and the Harris v. U.S. case. One's a Sixth Circuit case, one's a Seventh Circuit case. In both of those cases, those courts expressly say that the judgment bar statute applies because there was a judgment on the merits in the underlying case. That is not the case here. Mr. Williams has not been entitled to a judgment on the merits on any of his claims. All that's happened here is that the district court dismissed his claims against the United States under the FTCA because it said it never should have been brought under the FTCA. It was in one of the exceptions. And accordingly, what that court did, it's barred all of Mr. Williams' claims, including his very important Fifth Amendment constitutional Bivens claims. The public policy, we believe, behind the FTCA also supports Mr. Williams' argument. The United States Supreme Court in Will v. Halleck held that the judgment bar statute was intended to do two things, to prevent dual recovery and avoid the waste of repetitive lawsuits. Here, there's no danger of either of those happening if this court does not allow the judgment bar statute to be applied. Here, there was no repetitious litigation. Merits were never reached on any of the claims, and also the case of Mr. Williams' case against the United States as well as Mr. Fleming were all within one lawsuit. Currently, there would be no repetitive lawsuits. Also, there's no chance of dual recovery, which is the purpose of the FTCA. The claim against the United States has already been dismissed. The only claim that remains right now is Mr. Williams' constitutional Bivens claims. We believe that the nature of Mr. Williams' claims and the fact that they're constitutional claims also does not fit within the FTCA parameters. We believe that the cases cited by the appellees, FDIC v. Myers, United States v. Smith, Pesnell v. Arsenal, all support that holding, that constitutional claims shall not be affected by the FTCA and should not be barred by the judgment bar statute. It's also important to look at the nature of these claims and just to look at it from a common sense point of view. Simply because Mr. Williams' claims against the United States may have been dismissed under the FTCA, does that also mean that his constitutional claims against Mr. Fleming should? We believe that the express language of the FTCA, specifically provision 28 U.S.C. 2679 B2A, expressly precludes from coverage under the FTCA constitutional claims such as those provided by Mr. Williams. We also believe that fundamental notions of fair play dictate as far as finding that the judgment bar statute does not apply. Here, the district court dismissed Mr. Williams' claims against Mr. Fleming based on a lack of subject matter jurisdiction. We believe in the event that a court has the ability to prevent Mr. Williams from prosecuting his claims based on lack of subject matter jurisdiction, that same court should not later be allowed to grant Mr. Fleming relief if it didn't have subject matter jurisdiction to begin with. If you don't have any other further questions, I'd like to save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Haley?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jonathan Hale, and I'm representing here the individual defendant below, Jerry Fleming. Your Honors, through the Federal Tort Claims Act, Congress waived the sovereign immunity of the United States and agreed to be sued for torts by federal employees, subject to terms and conditions set forth in the statute. One of those conditions was that a judgment in a Federal Tort Claims Act case would be a complete bar to any action against the individual defendant. So the way the statute works is a plaintiff has an absolute right to bring an individual capacity action if that's what he wants to do. And he's not required to avail himself of the Federal Tort Claims Act remedy. But if he chooses to avail himself of that remedy, he does so subject to the conditions which Congress set forth. One of those is that he has to give up any individual suit against the involved federal employees. Mr. Williams argues here that his Federal Tort Claims Act judgment doesn't count because it was based on Section 2680 and not what he calls, quote, on the merits. And the problem with that argument is it doesn't have any support in the statutory language. The judgment bar statute is simple. It's one sentence, and it's categorical. And it simply refers to a judgment and an action brought pursuant to Section 1346B, and it doesn't require that the judgment be after a trial or otherwise on the merits. And the decisions in the Manning case or the Harris case don't hold that either. They just hold that's one kind of judgment which does apply. And the other cases we cited in our brief, there are other cases which apply the judgment bar to any number of judgments. The statute just speaks to the judgment in an action under Section 1346B. Williams' main argument, and the one for which he has support from a different circuit court of appeals than this court, the Hallett case, which is that a judgment under 2680 is different because it's a dismissal for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. And so there's really a nullity, and it doesn't count. And so there's two problems with that argument. The first being, of course, that Mr. Williams ignores the cases in this circuit which state very plainly that Section 2680 is not a limit on the court's subject matter jurisdiction. That what it is, that the subject matter jurisdiction is determined by Section 1346B. Section 2680 is a rule of decision to be applied. And the second problem is that it doesn't matter what label you attach to the decision. And, you know, the Supreme Court granted certiorari in the Hallett case, even though the Department of Justice's position is that this is jurisdictional. They didn't reach the merits of that because they decided that Hallett case on procedural grounds. But the question of whether it's jurisdictional or not doesn't really matter. We're not talking about, and it would be one thing, for instance, if the case had been brought in state court. And, of course, the statute says exclusive jurisdiction over these cases is in federal district court. So if the case had been brought in state court, maybe you could argue what happens there is a nullity. Or if the state court order says it's dismissed for lack of jurisdiction and contemplates further proceedings, it's not really a resolution of the claim. And so I can see some argument made here, but you can't. There's no way you can say that the district court's decision in this case was a nullity, or that it wasn't in a case brought pursuant to Section 1346B. Mr. Williams cited Section 1346B in his complaint. It was in the right place. The district court was competent to decide the matter. In fact, that's the only court that'd be competent to decide the matter. And the district court's decision on the FTCA claim wasn't a nullity. It was a final and conclusive determination. And Mr. Williams' FTCA claim was a loser. And that satisfies the definition of judgment that Mr. Williams himself proposes from Black's Law Dictionary, namely a court's final determination of the rights and obligations of the parties. So really what Mr. Williams' argument boils down to is a plea that what's happening here is unfair somehow. But that's a determination for Congress to make. And what happened here is consistent with Congress's purposes. Not that you really need to get into that because the statute's clear, but the idea of the judgment bar is to afford some protection to federal employees and to save the government the burden of defending against duplicative claims. And it's being applied that way here. And we were required to defend a contested motion in the FTCA case. And Mr. Williams argued that he should be able to go forward for various reasons with that case, and he ended up losing. And so we're not going to repeat that litigation in the individual capacity suit. You know, the bottom line is that plaintiffs are better off with the Federal Tort Claims Act. It gives them more options than they had before the Federal Tort Claims Act was passed. But if they choose to take advantage of that remedy, they have to do so subject to the terms and conditions which Congress provided. There are no questions, I'll ask the district court be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much?
Your Honor, I don't ignore the appellate court holdings of the Seventh Circuit when I said this case was dismissed for subject matter jurisdiction. I'm just following the district court's express order that was entered in this, where that district court time after time does hold that it was a dismissal for a lack of subject matter jurisdiction. Even with that being said, Your Honor, the Seventh Circuit does consistently hold in the cases cited by the appellee that a dismissal under 2680 should possibly be considered a dismissal for failure to state a cause of action. We believe even under that kind of analysis, and if this court does consider it a dismissal for failure to state a cause of action, that the Halleck v. Bonner case still does apply. Again, the primary holding has nothing to do with the label of lack of subject matter jurisdiction in that case. It says simply that for the judgment bar to apply, the action first must be one proper for consideration under the Federal Torts Act. It must fit within one of the categories for which sovereign immunity has been waived. That is not the case here. I mean, I'm sorry, that is the case here. The section 2680, it was the district court held that the waiver of sovereign immunity had not been waived in this case, and therefore we believe that the holding in Halleck does apply regardless of whatever label you want to give the dismissal. Finally, Your Honor, appellee has completely ignored the argument that the remaining claims Mr. Williams has against the appellees is based on constitutional claims, which the FTCA expressly precludes from coverage.
Thank
Unless you.
You
have any further questions, we ask that you reverse the district court's holding. Thank you.
Thanks to all counsel. And the case will be taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.